Welcome to the Kicking It With Ray podcast. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here to discuss all things reality TV from a black and brown perspective. From dating and marriage to competitions and everyday pop culture, I'll be diving into it all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Kicking It With Ray. I'm your host, Rainice, and I have my biffle, Bree, here with me. And of course, we brought Mark in. We said we were going to grab him from last time so that we could admonish him for his people. But as it turns out, we may not even have to do that because there was so much drama and so much other dumb shit to talk about from this Love is Blind reunion that I don't even know if we're going to have to talk about your alphas.
No, we can hold him accountable when we get to Clay. We remember the North.
Wait, but is Clay frat too or just his dad?
Well, that was a good question.
Dad, but that is a good question because
I think it's just his dad. Well, because you know, a lot of times on reality shows, they ask you not to wear the stuff, not to like show it. So he could be and just wasn't wearing it. You never know.
Well, his dad did not know the edit that he got. Otherwise, he would have put that pin
on. He would have not worn that. And it was also so little that I really do wonder like how many people noticed it.
He said some stuff too.
Are we gonna hold him accountable right now then?
Okay, let's do it now.
Is that how we're starting the episode? Because that's okay too. And then we
can just go for it. Because you weren't here last week, so I didn't hear it, what he said. What did he say, Mark? Let's get into it. So for those of you who forgot, Clay's dad was on some bullshit and he came to the wedding wearing his Alpha Phi Alpha pin, and it was like
let's just say that his little rant about
that's what I was saying. It sounded like hey, you're like shh, quiet,
right,
but yo, not for nothing, I don't think he realized what was happening necessarily, you know, that cameras were watching this whole thing. And then also, you know, it's not rare for someone to wear their fraternity pin on their suit to a wedding.
Right.
This man walked into a storm that he did not know was waiting for him. He did not know what Clay's mama didn't know what she was walking into. Clay waited all these years to go on, I don't know what you consider this, international television. Interwebs television, to be like, yo, my dad used to take me cheating with him. And his dad's like, hey, you think you can't, you don't. You think you do, you do. And like, he don't know what's going on here. And that's wild to me that like, hey, you know, everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. But he didn't think maybe not to do this on national television.
You could have ended it with he didn't think, and like that was the end.
Literally.
Talk about Clay.
The funny thing is, man, that dude, he came on there with an agenda too, right? He was gonna say that. He was gonna like make everyone know that he was a D1 athlete or Olympian, whatever the hell he said. Right? Oh, right. Like he wanted his sports accolades to be known. And he forced it in. It was really weird. He's like, oh, well, you know, when I did this and
first
this.
What was the point?
But little did he know, Clay had already, it was already over for him at that point. It wasn't even, he didn't have a chance because Clay had already dropped the bomb.
I feel like that's also whenever you have that type of relationship with a parent who it's not a very nurturing relationship, and they are not the one you go to for relationship advice. That's the kind of conversation you have with them. It didn't make any sense. It had nothing to do with me as a man, as a about to be husband. It had everything to do with you. And that's kind of how he's been as a father.
But wait a minute, lest we forget that Clay said that's the most his father had poured into him his whole life. And yet Clay talks about that this man was an extraordinary father whenever he gets a chance to. This poor boy, Clay, I'm so glad he's found the therapist that's for him. But yeah,
So that leads right into we'll start off with AD then. Let's just go AD and Clay. Let's start off with them. Fuck the order that I said we were gonna do.
Here we go,
rebels.
Because no, it leads into him talking about getting a therapist, and so he has this whole like. I kind of got a little emotional watching it back the second time. Everything he was saying, because he basically like pours his heart out and is like, I realized watching this and like going through it that I needed help. And so he did get therapy on his own. He said he went to a few different therapists because he had to find the right one, which is important. Some people think you just get a therapist and you make it work, and you don't have to do that. If you don't like them, you can shop around. Everything. What did you guys think about his speech and what he said to AD?
I'm over Clay. I left him behind. And whatever last podcast I told you, I've seen the red flags. I've seen his type. I'm not buying it still. Mm-hmm. Whatever he's selling, I'm not buying. He put a lot on therapy. That's not how therapy works, friends. Let's just talk about this. Like, therapy is not just I go to therapy and I'm working on me, girl. Like, I hear it, but I'm really over Clay on so many levels. You know, if everything he said was true, thumbs up to Clay. And he wouldn't have done it if AD stayed with him. Cause I know you, Clay. I know you, Clay. I've seen you before, Clay. I've met you before, Clay. And at the end of the day, he's putting a lot on therapy. I hope that he is moving in the right direction. And I cannot stand a man that tells you after the fact that you are the love of his life, because what do you want me to do with this information? I was so with AD. He's telling her, I wish I could go back and change that. Yeah. What do you want me to do with this information? You're trying to hurt me. And that's why I'm not buying anything he's selling. You buy a little bit, then they be like, you could get 2 for $5. And that sounds like a great deal. And now all of a sudden I got a baker's dozen and he's back in your life. Don't buy it. I'm not buying it.
Agreed. Mark, what'd you think?
I'm torn. And the reason why I'm torn is because this man, so he said it, right? He could not get out of his own way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is his self-confidence. Like, he can't convince himself that he is good, that he is enough, that he is whatever. He can't convince himself of things that may or may not be true, whatever. But the part that I have trouble with, right? Because like I think yesterday he said all the right things. He, you know, like, and it sounds like, oh wow, like he has seen the light and whatever. But I have a lot of trouble with how someone could not understand the magnitude of that moment in the moment. Yes, okay, on the surface, very superficially, not getting married if you're not ready. If under normal circumstances, someone would say, yes, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you're not under normal circumstances.
Correct.
You have a whole wedding. Her family came out. She got a dress. You're talking to her up into it, and she's so excited. She walks down the aisle. You're looking at her, and you still are able to say no.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, and then he acted like, oh, well, and she could just date me afterwards. Like, yo, you broke her. You broke her. She's not going to be the same. She's not, like, you can't go through that and be the same woman. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that will always be in the back of her head. She'll always have doubt. Anytime, if they were to get together, stay together, whatever, she's always going to feel like, yo, he did the worst thing to me.
Well, this is where I feel the reunion failed as well, because I will never forget that this man was standing at the fence, and the reason he said that he didn't get married were he thought about two things. And one of them was like, do I love her?
Or, am I deeply in love?
Am I deeply in love? And the answer is no.
Right.
And then he's in her dressing room asking her to date him, kissing her. And like, I think one of the questions should have been, what did you mean by that, sir? You said you didn't deeply love her at that point. Can we talk about that? Because now you're sitting next to her, now that she's moved on and you've lost her in your head, or I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I'll go based off of the information that I'm given, that essentially you lost her, now she's the love of your life, right? And I that's why it's just it's very smooth talk, and I feel like he's learned from one of the best, and you got to be very careful with that.
Yeah, I think that if he was serious, he would have shown up there with a ring and a marriage certificate in hand. Like, I'm not playing about you. I fucked up. Let's fix this. And that would have been it. I would have had questions about why you're doing it on TV. Like, you could have done this like forever ago if you were really serious. But get that check. You know, I'm sure like sponsorships, whatever, would have been high if he had, you know, come for that. I'm all about Black people getting paid. But I just agree that like, it was beautiful to see. I loved feeling his emotion. And I'm glad that he has regret. I'm glad that he now realizes she's the love of his life and he fucked up. Have that regret. Realize you made that mistake. Don't bother AD.
Right.
He does not mean a bit of that, though.
That's probably true, Bri. You're probably right. He probably doesn't mean it. I still like hearing it. And I like AD having those feelings of like, yeah, I'm the one you lost. Fuck you.
Right. But I agree with you that like, If you did make that mistake, right, and you put someone through that, and then you realize whatever, you would have to, you know how people say like the apology needs to be as loud as the whatever. So you would have the grand type of gesture that would be needed to kind of mitigate that at least, because it's not going to go away. Like she'll never forget that, right? But at least to mitigate it or to you know what I mean, like. Hey, like this is what happened. This is the story, and it's not just for appearances, but it's for her mind. Because when she has doubts, when she has those weak moments, she will be able to at least draw to that moment and say, you know what, he did this, but then he did this,
and put you guys back on equal footing.
Right, but she doesn't have that.
Didn't have that.
She has him talking on the reunion show, saying good things, but that's not big enough.
Several couples have tried to date after a partner said no. I think in all of the cases, it was the man who said no. And then they still tried to date afterwards. Season one, Giannina and Damon. Then we had season three with Raven and SK. And there was another one. I can't remember who it was. But basically, like, that happens and it doesn't work out. So I don't know why people try this. It's not.
Because these men are going on the show and they're not ready.
They're not serious.
Going on the show and are ready.
It's the commitment thing. And they think, well, just give me more time and I'll be ready for the commitment. But I think in each of those cases, they're just buying themselves more time.
Yeah.
And on this kind of show, it's almost, you know, the Sex and the City reference, where is your traffic light on or your taxi light on, you know? Yeah. And men who go on the show, your taxi light needs to be on. You need to be making sure that you're ready to carry a passenger. So you can't have your taxi light on and then you're like, oh, wait, let me turn it off. Maybe I don't want a passenger right now. And that's what these men are doing, on and off, and relax. Like, you're not ready, and that's okay. I give Clay that grace. You don't have to be ready, but leave people alone while you go to therapy and figure out some actionable steps on how to really change this behavior that you have that you know are hurting other people. Because again, you know, she said, I don't want to be like your mom.
Respectfully.
And I feel that. Like, if the foresight is, I'm sure Trevor, who's the dad, was great at one point. Like, you know, not he was a trying man, as AD has described Clay. I'm sure it didn't always feel like, you know, BS. And also, she didn't know everything that was happening behind closed doors.
Right.
But if you buy one, they're going to try to sell you two for five. And I'm sticking by that. And that's why AD is the good sis. And I hope that she's really sticking 10 toes down in this, because that will also help Clay to move forward in the way that he needs some hard boundaries on.
He needs to experience loss.
Yeah.
And not temporary loss. He needs to experience loss. And the thing is, the AD, listen, I know she loves Clay. You could tell she loves Clay.
And by the way, she kept looking back at him when she was talking about other, like dating Matthew and stuff. She kept like checking on him. Like,
right. So you know she loves him and everything like that. But she's also, listen, I know she didn't go on the show for that, but she's been on TV. I'm sure she has plenty of suitors, like good men that are, you know, trying to get at her, and good men that don't have the same baggage that Clay has, and they won't put her through what Clay has. And her story can be can be pure, can be, you know, she won't have to like kind of figure out how to get past this thing, you know. So
yeah, because Clay has to want it for himself at the end of the day. And I think that's my biggest point. It's not therapy can't do that for you. A woman can't do that for you. You're going to have to want this for yourself and then take the action steps that go towards that, you know?
Yeah.
What I thought was really funny was when he was like, yeah, you know, Brett was the husband type, but like Kwame's sitting right there and he's like,
I know, but it was so beautiful. Like, I know that was also, Kwame, but it was also like, but Kwame, you know, you was fucking up.
But at the end of the day, if we were like, who do you think he was referring to? Everybody on three, one, two, three, Brett. Right. Like, it had to be.
Maybe Brett, Cameron.
Nobody looking like, at Kwame and getting black man.
Oh, yeah, but Brett was really it. Brett did show up with wanting to be a husband. And I was watching this reunion with friends. And I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the readiness of men in this. And I think you and I, Renice, were talking about this too, is, or the readiness of people to be in this space. But also you and I were talking about how these love triangles end up always very sticky. And not that they can't work out in different ways, because, you know, we love B and Z, or Bliss and Zach, as Brett called them. But I think these love triangles can get weird. And I think there's something to a man that steps in the pod and goes, that's my wife, I'm leaving with her. Mm-hmm. And how those relationships end up panning out in the end. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of love triangles, with AD, we did get to finally see the Matthew footage. And Bree, you did call this on our first episode. You said at the reunion, we hope they play the footage. They just need to roll the footage back and let us see what Matthew was saying to Amber. So how did you feel getting to see the footage?
I didn't like the way they pieced it together. I wanted to see all of Amber's footage. I wanted to see and be like, we should run off together. I wanted all of the juice. And I feel like I got more of the AD part of it that I had already seen with that. I didn't like the way they pieced that together, in my opinion.
Mark, what'd you think?
Yeah, it didn't have the impact for me. Like I was listen, he's a weirdo. Like that I already knew. And I think that it did in some ways kind of drive home the point. But yeah, I wanted more like a very specific impeachment of like yeah. I just wanted them to like really just legitimately disassemble everything.
I wanted them to play it like side by side, like, and
legit. And splice it and everything, yeah. So that it's perfect. And he's just like,
that kind of makes me feel like they did play more for the studio audience, because AD was able to be like visceral about it and like talk about how, you know, her father being used against her. It felt like there was more shown to them that they could then cut out for us.
Well, maybe. I think it was that part where he was like, I would want to ask your father to marry you. Which, and I feel like a lot of guys asked that.
That's how I was like, that didn't evoke any type of like, I don't know. Wouldn't you say that to a woman that you, like, okay, Mark and I watched The Bachelor. Every single hometowns, The Bachelor asked the father for the hand in marriage. So like, that wasn't that big of a deal to me. That's why I'm like, they had to have shown more and made it really a bigger deal, because I wasn't feeling it. But I was happy to see at least that little snippet to know, yeah, he really did use some of the same lines and made it seem like he was going to leave with Amber. Whether or not that was his intent, I'm sorry, you start talking about wanting to ask my father for my hand in marriage, you're about to propose to me. You're not that serious as anybody else. So this is not The Bachelor. So
right.
And maybe that's the watch part too. I just hate the practice of like, well, not to talk about The Bachelor too much, but like, how are you gonna ask three fathers, two fathers? Like what are you doing? Like, yeah. Shut up.
Ridiculous. But it's like, they can't just ask one, because then we know who wins. So, right. Yeah.
I hope they tell them almost immediately after, so that dad's not leaving.
No, they don't.
Like, no, get the dude's number and just call him once, whoever it is, just call him. You met him. Why don't you spend the time talking to him and then call a dude after once you make your choice?
Yeah, that's been what's been happening more recent episode seasons. This is the first one where it kind of went back to old traditional ways, but like, Anyway, we segue.
Hey, bring it back. Bring it back.
So, well, watching her talk about going on a date with Matthew, though, how'd you guys feel about her even like giving Matthew a chance after all that? Like, AD loves her red flags.
I mean, I don't. That was weird. That's weird. Like,
why would you go on a date with this guy? Like, I don't.
Oh my gosh, free her! But yeah. Also, I probably would too. I know me. curiosity killed the cat.
Well, brought her back. I've been curious to meet him too. I'm not going to your fucking house to cook me dinner. Like, no.
Oh, that second one was strange. The second date, but maybe the first one was a blast. I don't know.
She said it was good. She said the dates were good.
Once they get you laughing, things get crazy. It's like,
I just don't think I, like, again, with the whole pride thing, like, this man told, like, literally embarrassed you. Why would you want to go on a date with him at all? And I thought her and Amber were friends. I don't, it's just weird to me. To me, it's like, I'm not going on a date with someone who literally did that in the pods.
It was probably post Clay. It gets crazy. You know how breakups are. You know? You get it.
Oh God, I just hope
I hold space.
I hope she has moved past these red flags of these men. Yeah. Now, did you guys read the article where Jimmy said he would date AD?
Jimmy.
We did not.
When do we talk about Jimmy? When do we talk about them?
This is the kind of tea that was missing from the reunion, and I'm so pissed because I would have seen their faces.
Bring us in the room. That's who needs to ask the questions.
Yes. So I don't even know. I think it was E interviewed him, and he basically was like, me and AD have a vibe. I could definitely see us trying to date later on. He was like, not right now, out of respect for like Chelsea and Clay, but like.
Let me find out.
I just want everyone to know y'all are missing a lot of reaction in today's. Wow.
Yeah.
Do we want to? No. I feel like kombucha lady with that. It's like, yeah, no. Yeah.
I mean, it's, I love that for AD. Being wanted is a beautiful thing. Like, but
stay away from him, AD. AD, you stay away from, don't get out the Love is Blind universe.
Yeah. But at least this cast.
You know, I got something about that later when we get to someone else. When we get to these, they, I don't know why they get themselves in these families.
Yeah, we gotta focus up because I know now it's a lot. Maybe this was a better reunion than I thought. We got a lot to talk about. But they also missed a lot. It was too,
they missed a lot. Yeah, they definitely missed a lot. I wish they would have gone deeper with AD and Clay, even asking about the finances, because he mentioned in the finale that something about her finances. What did you mean by that? What, like, talk to me. So, yeah, they definitely missed a lot of those questions. But it was, overall, I had a good feeling about Clay as a human being, not as a partner for AD, but as a like human being. I feel like Clay is going to grow so much in this experience. Y'all have anything else to say about them too?
No, I agree with you. Well. I think this has helped Clay. Unfortunately, there were victims along the way.
Yeah.
Or that's one.
A good way to put it. So let's move on, because you said you got kind of excited there, Mark, about some other people in the cast. Where did you want to go with that? We can jump right in.
Yeah, so and this was, so I think I can segue this. So my favorite character or character, they're people, but my favorite cast member, actually, I thought about it last night as I was watching. I was like, is Jess my favorite?
I knew you were going to say Jessica. I was
like, Jess is actually my favorite. And the thing is like, I didn't start liking her until after she got rejected. So I had to start, you know, checking myself. I'm like, am I trying to, like, is this like save someone syndrome or whatever? Like, whatever. but no, I think the way she conducted herself and the way she carried herself was great. And the thing that I was going to say is like, why the hell is she going on Perfect Match? Get out.
She's trying to milk her 15 minutes, and I don't really blame her. She got a kid. She needs to get those coins.
I don't know.
Perfect Match is the right show, but
she's
like,
she's gotten a ton of followers, right? She's gotten a ton of followers. She had to have. Like, you know, she's like the very like beauty standard, like, you know, traditional beauty standards. That's her, whatever. So I don't know. I just feel like she needs to get out. She did it right. She you know, conducted herself well. She had got a good edit or whatever. I think it wasn't just the edit. I think she actually, did, conducted herself well. Get out. I'm going a perfect match. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of people juxtapose her and Sarah Ann, and I think they handle those situations very differently.
Very differently.
From pod to post pod, I think they handle them very differently. So,
And even at the reunion, just watching how Jessica handled herself compared to Sarah Ann, who wanted to immediately start attacking Laura, like, you are the other woman. You stole her man. So you don't get to come in mad because
Hold
she
on. I
has feelings about it.
want to stick on Jessica before we get to Sarah Ann because I can read
It's
her.
related
No, but now, because now I feel like I got to get my read of Sarah Ann, and like we'll come back to
we'll
that.
come back to
Like,
Sarah Ann. Yes.
right.
So
Like,
Jessica
and then
handled
we'll
it.
end up with Jeremy, and then we'll
Yes.
forget what we need to say about Jessica. So.
Every single time where Jessica was about to like get into it with Sarah Ann, Jessica was like, "You know what? Go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead. Speak your mind." Like, because I don't have to.
But I think I liked Jessica in the pods though, because she laid it all out there from the time, and that's why she can feel really great about walking away. Where Sarah Ann was like, I feel like I could have fought for my man more, and maybe if I did a, which because she didn't, she should have just forfeit that, right?
Oh,
But
you're right.
I
You're
think.
right. Because when Sarah Ann was being rejected, she was like, okay, and like left. Whereas Jessica was like, you're dumb. This is why.
Well, she also gave him the letter and he didn't know what to say back, which was her first sign. So she felt comfortable. Then when she heard that he told Chelsea, she also understood. And then finally, the last part, but she had put her whole heart out there so that she wouldn't walk away with any questions or doubts. Did she show up in a way that felt really good to her?
Yeah.
So she did all that she knew she could do and walked away gracefully and knew that he would need an EpiPen, right? And then kept it pushing and moved forward. Then she didn't reach back out to him. I don't think they're, yes, okay, I get it, messy conversation, but it's a messy conversation with your best friend. And honestly, I'd be mortified if some of our conversations got out, Renice. And like, I think
We would have to put ourselves in jail because like we
I
witnessed
would move away from this country. Bye, it's over.
this.
And
I'm getting
like,
hot just thinking about it.
right, let it go. But I think, personal conversations with your homegirls over drinks is different than actually moving in on somebody's man,
Laura never told her to go after that man. She never once said, like, you should message him. She said, would you be interested in seeing him or talking to him? She didn't say, go do it, go after him. That's a
Right.
completely different conversation. Was it slightly inappropriate? Maybe, but like, if the cameras weren't there, it wouldn't have been inappropriate. So.
There's gonna be like, listen, when we it's an ex essentially, right? There's gonna be some like there's just gonna be some conversations that might be on that line, right? When something's fresh, whatever. But I like the way she conducted herself in that. I like the fact that, like, looking back, I was like, yo, she did not at any point in the pods try to hint at how she looked. She didn't. I mean, it was only at, at that last moment when she was, hurt and getting her digging. But she didn't try to, which Chelsea did, you know what I mean? And it backfired it to epic proportions. But like she didn't try to do that. So there's a lot of things that, like a lot of the things that Jess did, I was like, yeah, I kind of fuck with that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm okay with her going on another show because I think she can make a better life for her and her kid with this money and this fame. And I don't like whether or not she did go on there to find her person is we can debate that all day. Who knows? But at the end of the day, she is creating a job for, like this is a real job for people and they can make a lot of money off of it. So I support it. She has a great support system for her daughter. Do what you got to do. So I just,
Fair
again,
enough.
I agree that like Perfect Match is a terrible platform. Like none
But
of
it's
those.
on Netflix, and Netflix has the most subscribers and the most viewers and everything. So
They
you know
need
what?
to take Jess, if this Perfect Match don't work out, take Jess and do something for someone who wants to date a mom, though. I think, because like I think that comes back to what we were talking about with this show. Is it good to
For
bring some random person into your daughter's life after 2 weeks?
That's like, what I would have done if I was Jess. I would have pitched a show, a new show to Netflix. Like, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm the lead.
Parents.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see Jess on a show like The Circle or The Mole or something.
Oh. Or like Traitors. Like, bring her to, like...
Yes, let's get into
the
that.
Trust, or like Celebrity, The Trust, or something. I don't know. One of those.
Maybe we don't do any more dating shows because these men are not for you, Jess. You're above them.
I'm just so nervous that these men are trash and you're going to bring them around your daughter. And like, I'm just, it just makes me so nervous.
Comfortable. I'm so hungry. Since we're still talking about Jess, we can get into her conversation with Jeremy and how she was like, I thought we were friends. And then you were talking shit about it. Oh, God, all these J's, y'all, sorry. So her conversation with Jimmy. And what did you guys think about that whole thing and them having to bring out the receipts because Jimmy was talking about some 10 minutes and all this craziness?
You know, it's like those shows where they do the review. And, you know, the couples have the argument and they do the challenge flag. You know, I believe that he probably really thought that he was in the right or whatever, but he was way off. And
2 hours and 13 minutes. How do you confuse?
And he thought it was 10?
2 hours and 13 minutes with 10 minutes. Like, please explain that to me.
I thought that maybe he, you know how they did, how he initiated a break and then they came back. I thought that maybe she was going to leave 10 minutes after that, but then that kept going on too.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I just think that there's been a couple moments where I'm like, yo, Jimmy, you don't, his awareness is like weird. Like even with, you know, Chelsea, who, you know, most of us don't like, whatever, but like even calling her clingy and stuff like that, it's like, bro, you never know the right thing to say, do you? Like, you just say the wrong thing all the time.
Well, I think, in arguments, no one's saying the right things because Chelsea was saying wild things and he called her clingy and we're like, oh, why are you calling her clingy? But, you know, I think, no, he didn't think it felt like 10 minutes. We just got to let that go. We're not going to. Well, you know, there's a pattern with the men on Love is Blind season 6 and I'm not, you know, saying anything, but things are just not adding up. And when the math does not math, I just leave it at that. And you do what you want to do with this deductive reasoning.
Right.
Yeah. There's no way you felt that an hour 13 felt like 10 minutes or 50 minutes felt like 10 minutes. Nowhere in those. The 10 minutes was the break.
Yeah.
That's what the 10 minutes was. So...
And then even him saying that she stormed out, she did it. Y'all,
asked for a time out because they were not going forward in the conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it felt like. And I can understand, yes, perception is reality. And I respect that from people. But
then reality is also reality.
Not math.
Reality is reality, yes.
Reality is like, I'm trying to work with you here.
Yeah.
And it's just not working out. So, you know, I also feel like this is where the show started going left. They just spent too much time on back and forth on minutia.
Which that was a really weird back and forth that we didn't need. We didn't need that at all.
Yeah, it was like, what's going on outside of the Love is Blind? So you kind of have to, with this reunion, they also assume that you are very much so into the social media world with all of the things that are going on with this cast as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a heavy assumption. Yes, some of us are, but I don't think that's true for everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was like, why are you on podcasts saying bad, negative stuff about me? Which, here, yes, it was not necessarily mathing, but I didn't feel like it was such a thing where I was like, well, we not on good terms because
you said I
got out after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm right. Thinking,
what?
But then I felt like that too. But then I was wondering why he didn't say, hey, I wasn't trying to bash. Like, he didn't try to, like, he didn't say, hey, Jess, I wasn't trying to bash you. Like, I was just talking. I was just saying what, you know, my recollection was or whatever. He seemed to get automatically combative. It was just weird.
Well, that's who he is. Like, I feel like he never, ever deflates arguments. He is always going to defend himself, which
he's an escalator.
I'm kind of the same way.
He's not a de-escalator.
Mark, I think we had talked about this at lunch. Like, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I definitely have a hard time backing down. So
yeah.
I understand that. But this was so, to your point, he was like, nothing he said was bad. It literally was like, I said you got a good edit. Like, I wasn't saying that as an insult. I'm sorry that you took it that way. That's not how I meant it.
And legitimately, if he did that, then she would have been fine because it wasn't that bad what he said. Then yeah. She would have been like, oh, okay, he wasn't trying to throw shade. Maybe she would have had some feelings a little bit still, but she would have probably just been like, okay, all right, cool. We good now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was all
exchange.
But there was a lot. There was a lot of like social media and outside stuff brought into it, including the shit with Sarah Ann. Should we jump over to Sarah Ann now?
Let's go.
Well, first, can we just say with Chelsea and Jimmy, what is their deal?
They didn't. Oh, so no, let's stick with them then.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot because
they didn't give us an update on.
I have no idea. According to them, they're not dating. They tried to date for like 4 days and then nothing. So I don't know. They were just traveling together. They've been seen making out in clubs and stuff. So I don't know. Very confusing.
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think they were asking them any tough questions. They didn't stay on them long enough, in my opinion.
I'm glad that they addressed the whole friend situation and that Chelsea does feel awful about that. Which, by the way, Mark, how did you feel about her telling the secret?
I feel very strongly that she should not have done that. She should have had the self-control like that. And I really understand where Jimmy's coming from 100%. The world is not the same for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
This woman did not agree to go on a show. She, you know what I mean? I think that she deserves her privacy. She deserves for her shit not to be out there. She like, and he tried to do that for her. And I think, you know, they kind of made it say, oh, when you're arguing, you just say things. No, I think that you can stop yourself from saying that. I think that when someone pulls you aside and says, and you know, intentionally when the cameras aren't there and says, hey, this is what happened. Let's talk about it, but I don't want it to be on camera. That should stay in your head and you shouldn't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm. And she was definitely very drunk, but I agree that like once you cross that line, that's the end of your relationship. So I think it should have ended there. The fact that they like got back together after that was like ridiculous. But anyway,
well, I think there's layers to this, and I agree. I think people were writing off Chelsea doing this too easily. I understand emotions, but absolutely not understandable, especially with your partner, right? Husband and wife. This is not understandable at all. It is sharing your business in front of company and not just company, the interwebs, right? Like everyone is seeing this and it's not appropriate. I think he handles it in the right way. He was trying to tell his wife what happened. He introduced, I even like the explanation, you and I talked about this, right? About how he brought the female friends because like his male friends, of course y'all get along. It'll be like, we'll drink beer. It'll be fine. Right. But like the emotional side of things are my homegirls. And this event happened a while ago. So for her to be so hung up on it and conflating both issues, and was it because he was out too late, was just there, or was he with the other girl? Is it because they're texting all the time? What are you upset about, sis? And literally it was nighttime already. Wait an hour. Let those cameramen go home. So right. Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, and,
you know, she did have that one thing on social media. She's like, oh, you know, like she was pretty much saying that it's bad. Like her watching it back is just as bad. She understands where it's coming from and everything like that. But she was a wreck. Honestly, she was a wreck at every stage through this process.
She did say that she has spoken to the woman and has apologized profusely. I don't think the woman has forgiven her.
And no.
You know what's funny though is like we don't know which woman it was. So even though like we know it was one of them two, we don't actually know which one it was. So
yeah,
I think that's a little bit extreme. Like, yeah, your business is put out there, but it could be either one of you two. And anyone like that would go ask you. Like, you don't have to. I don't know. I think it's
no, but I think it ruined one. I think it ruined her relationship. I think that's what he said. Well, I think he was with somebody, and you know what I mean? And so if you're dating one of them, you're going to be like, yo, which is it, you or is it the other one?
Well, that's my whole thing, is like, how would you know which one it was? Like, that's
yeah, but if you're someone's partner, you're going
to
ask.
If your partner goes, was it you?
Was it you? Well, now you have to talk about it, sure. But if your partner is going to be that insecure to like break up with you over something like that, like, I don't know. This is a whole other thing, but I'm like, I feel like it got bigger than it needed to get. Because we still don't know which one it was. Maybe in his circle they know. I don't know. It just, we don't know which one it was.
Yeah.
So her being dragged online, like, or out, whatever, outed online, like, we don't know who it was. So that was that. Like, to me, the issue was the trust, not her reputation and her,
yeah,
like, being dragged online, because we don't know who it was. And if people are coming for both of the women, then like, you're fucking crazy. Like, anyway, coming for the women at all is like, what is wrong with you? But anyway,
coming for any people on this show because of their poor decisions that already are impacting their life is insane to me. Go worry about your own lives, as always.
Right, like, just enjoy the show, watch it, have fun. Like, why are we DMing them? Like, what's happening?
Like, their poor decisions are, or for better or worse, their decisions are already impacting their life. Why do you need to have a real opinion and send it to them or comment right under the picture about it?
Yeah. So anyway, moving, are we done with Chelsea and Jimmy? Because I was upset that like literally nothing else was covered with them. They didn't even ask them if they were together. They had they didn't ask them that on the show. We found out post show.
Piece it together. Yeah.
Yeah. We found out post show that Chelsea said they tried to date for like 4 days. She said 4 days on the extra interview, but then somewhere else someone said, I think one of them, I forget which one of them, said it was 2 weeks, so I don't know. Then apparently they
didn't. Time management though is
yeah if it was Jimmy that said minutes, it, we can't.
One weekend, who knows?
Yeah, one fight or no fights, who knows? Like, they're not very good with numbers.
Do they know each other? Have they ever met?
But then, like, they were spotted traveling together. Apparently, they went on a cruise together. There's just so much with these two. And these two, of all the couples, need to not get back together. Like, there is not a world in which I would ever root for them to be together. They were terrible as a couple. They, like, are terrible for each other. And I don't think they're bad people individually. I think they were bad for each other.
I think they bring out the absolute worst in each other.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's okay to move on from that. You don't have to force that to work. If somebody is not speaking your love language, you don't have to force it to work. If somebody doesn't trust you, you don't have to force it to work.
Oh, before we move on from them, because I feel like we'll end up forgetting it, we should do this standalone character really quickly. Trevor.
Okay, you want to do that now. Okay.
Because I think the other ones are like couples, and then they kind of segue into each other.
Okay, but
yeah, so we'll do talk about Trevor.
Ooh, this was uncomfortable for me and a good like 20 minutes of my life that we will never get back.
Why did they make it go on so long?
Why did they have him there in the, like, what was the point?
Several Why questions. Did he pause for like 30 seconds?
30 seconds. I counted because it was two different pauses. They were each 15 seconds long.
These questions are important. Not only why did they ask him to come, Trevor, save yourself.
He didn't even know. He didn't.
He was trying to make himself disappear. I feel like he was sitting there like trying to make himself disappear or something like that. I was like, bro, you're not saying words. Do you know you're not speaking right now?
Oh my gosh. Really, the best thing ever is I literally turned to my friends, and everybody must have saw this on the internet as well, because I turned to them and I said, he looks exactly like that woman who was in the courtroom. And I was like, I was with her earlier today, right? And she starts blinking. And then I saw that this has gone viral from people getting retweeted and that, but that's exactly what he looked like in that moment. He was so stunned, as if he didn't know what they were going to ask him about when he came to the show.
I don't think he knew they had the text messages. I don't think he was expecting.
Oh, is that really, that was the.
That's how his face, like, what else? Because he said
he had a plan. And then
I had a plan. I had something to say. And now.
Oh, so he was going to lie.
No,
That would make sense because I was like, bro, now that makes the plan. Most like, sense. Say something,
but Trevor.
Maybe he thought he could like get out of it by saying like, because remember he tried to say she wasn't really my girlfriend. We weren't really together. Well, they're we like, saw you.
Why are you saying I love you and I want to marry
you? Who do you marry?
Like, so anyway. The moral of the story is do not name your child Trevor. That's Clay's daddy name. This is this Trevor name. It's enough is enough.
Yeah, right. I don't know very many
good in here. No more.
It was so bad. But so Trevor was also casted for Perfect Match 2. Now, I did hear that he was never pulled for a date. Have you guys watched? I know, Brie, you haven't watched Perfect Match. Mark, have you watched it?
Yeah.
So the way that it works is they have some people that come into the house originally, but then everybody else that comes in has to get selected to go on a date with somebody who's already in the house. So that's how they come in. So last year we saw some people on the like little Rolodex that we never saw in the house. And I'm hearing that that's what happened with him too, is he just was never brought into the house. So I'm wondering if he was forced to do this in order to get out of whatever contract liability he had for Perfect Match 2, because it just made no sense. He didn't want to be there. At one point he's like, can I go? Like, we're in the middle of talking. So he was in the middle of a statement and then just like, can I go?
They said yes though. He was
well, he did go abruptly. It wasn't at that exact point. But then later on he just like left, like,
yeah, because then Nick goes, you asked to leave, goodbye. Like, you could go.
You know, I don't know, friend. I really, really don't know why Trevor would say yes. Hopefully it was a contract. Otherwise, you're being really, really generous. I feel like he thought the best explanation so far, and this is the one I'm going to lean into, he did not know they had the text messages. He was going to come out swinging like, Chelsea, I was so genuine to you. We weren't that serious. She and I were toxic, but it was like, I'll marry you. And then everybody was like, bro, what?
Honey, so yeah. I was sweating. I was so uncomfortable with it.
It was bad.
It was too long.
Yeah. And then Jeremy rubbing his back, I was like, oh no.
Also, the four of them on the couch, I was like, free Jessica. She's on the terrible couch. It was Sarah and Jeremy, Trevor, and Jessica. Get up, Jessica, run. It was just a terrible. And Trevor's huge, so he's like squeezing in between.
And he's got a man spread. He has to. Like, you don't have a choice. And then him trying to bring Johnny into it, I was like, leave Johnny out of this. Like, I know y'all trust Johnny. So, yeah, we trust him because he's not.
Johnny was like, bro, you ain't getting no help. That was crazy, man. That was crazy.
Oh, it was so bad. I'm just glad that they didn't try to redeem him, because that's what I thought was going to happen, because I knew he had been cast for Perfect Match 2. So the fact that they let him just die like this, I'm like, oh.
Those text messages might have been hot off the press, though, because the way he stared off into space was amazing. It was chef's kiss.
And it's almost like, but how did you not know they were going to pull those? Like, that's why I'm like, he must have just thought they were just going to talk about it. They didn't tell him, no, we're going to read the text messages.
Do you think those contracts are by minutes? And they were like, you have 5 more minutes to offer. And he was like, blink, blink. Yep.
And that could also be part of it too, because technically he violated his contract by doing this. So it could have been, you have to appear here or else we're going to sue you because you violated the contract.
What do you mean by doing lying?
Because the contract said, like, whenever you sign that contract, you're agreeing that like everything they found is true. You're not in a relationship. You're here for like real. And then the hit by, so technically his girlfriend like violated the NDA. But like, you fucked up by breaking up. Like, you should have done more to mitigate.
Right, because why is there a girlfriend?
Right. Why does she know? Like, why was there a girlfriend in the first place? Why?
Yeah. Don't marry her.
Because he told the girlfriend about Chelsea. He told her like stuff that happened in the pods, which is a violation of the contract. So all of that she's now posting is like, oh my dude, you fucked up. So this could have also been their way of being like, you come on and give us this drama, and we won't sue you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, anything else about Trevor?
No.
All right.
Are we going to stay on this couch now?
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on to Jeremy and Sarah Ann and Laura.
Yeah, moving down the sofa.
Down the tragic sofa. Oh my gosh. So Sarah Ann came out swinging and it just was bad from the beginning. Everything about this was cringe, cringe, cringe. We spent 30 minutes talking about this terrible situation and I left here disliking Sarah Ann more than what I thought.
Right. I was like, she started at a 2 and somehow got herself to like a negative 3. Because again, the thing is, from my standpoint, right, I can actually understand someone going after what they want. And honestly, like, I'm thinking about it, right? Like, if I were on a show like this, right, which I would never be, but if I were on a show like this, right, and I'm meeting these guys the same time I'm meeting, you know, these women, I don't really feel that. My friendships are 30 and 20 years friendships, right? Like, I got my boys are my boys for a long time. These guys aren't my boys. I don't really have loyalties to them. I'm going to go after the girl I want if I felt that way or whatever. Now, I'd do it better than them. Like, I wouldn't be like, they were kind of slimy about it. And it was really weird how they were going about it. But like, the thing is, like, she's sitting there and she's like, they say, you're not a girl's girl. You're not like, just say, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I saw my man. I went after him. And, you know, like, if she did it a little bit more unapologetically, right, and then at least conceded that she did it the wrong way, but that she meant to do that, like, she wanted him, whatever, then that would have come off better. But instead, she was just kind of like in this weird middle ground, and like, and saying, acting like she's a girl's girl. Like, you're definitely not. You yeah. absolutely are a pick me. You wanted him to pick you. Like, it's fine. And I know that the term has a negative connotation, whatever, but like, it's what happened.
It is, right.
I agree wholeheartedly and couldn't have said it better. And at the end of the day, she could have read everybody down. We are all pygmies. This is a show to get chose. It's legitimately how it works. And then y'all could say that he didn't pick you though, right? That's what their comeback is. And then she says, but he did. And then that's the end of it. And that's how you move on from it. And I'm not saying that this is makes her a great person, but if she owned the truth, it would make her more so, you know, I can't argue with you, Sarah Ann, but like, to be like, I'm not a girl's girl, you're not a girl's girl, to all the girls.
you were talking shit about me to Jeremy in the pods. Okay, how do you know that though? Jeremy's a liar. like how do you know?
Also, girl, that's when the game was on, right? You know, so she kept playing when the game was over, which, hey, okay, that's on you. If you wanted to, we said, you know, the game of tag is over, and then you kept playing, and then now you tag him, and he decided to play back. Cool, right? It was a little weird, but hey, now we're in it. But, you know, I think if she owned it, like, I still wanted to play tag, and y'all was quitting, had back turn, I got him now, and y'all are upset. We would be okay with it.
That happened to me my senior year in high school. The day I was getting my passport picture, we were having a water balloon fight. We called time out because Renice was getting her makeup and hair done, and this man came out of nowhere and got a water balloon straight to my face, and my passport picture was ruined. So yes, when time out is called.
That's funny.
Right. No, right. But some people don't respect the timeout, which is Sarah Ann. And that's a choice. That's a choice. But you got to own when people said you didn't respect the timeout.
Yeah.
And be like, and I didn't.
Yeah. And what? And I got the man. And what? And be happy in your shit. That was my whole issue with it, too. Because at the end of the day, this is a show to find your partner. And so I'm happy for anybody who finds their partner. If you and Jeremy are meant to be, that's beautiful. But you don't get to come on this show where you stole someone's man and then try to like throw daggers at them and be rude to them. You gotta be humble, sis. Fall on your sword and just apologize and be like, you know what? The way I went about it wasn't great, but I'm happy that I have my man at the end of the day. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that it wasn't team girl, but I was not here to make girlfriends. I was here to find a husband. And right. like Elbo said, the concept of this show is to be picked. So y'all are all pick me's, and that's fine. Pick me is not always a bad thing.
It really isn't, right? Like, you know, obviously it's made to be a bad term, but like to an extent, and again, then you can get to the details of like, oh, I would have done this differently. I would have done this differently. And she would have been able to navigate that and just be, you know, you could just have a difference of opinion on like, oh, well, I think this is where the line is. I think this is where the line is. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But don't act like you didn't, you know, it was just silly. And then Jeremy, he's just weird, man.
He is going through it. He has so many different things happening in his life, both on the camera and off, that he probably just needs to not date for a little bit. Like maybe
because he went from fiance to Sarah Ann living with him. Yeah.
To them breaking up at the end of the day, to his ex-girlfriend coming out with domestic violence claims, like all this shit.
What? I didn't hear that. Yeah. Hold on. But what I want to say before we move on, because I want to make sure that it's very clear, regardless of if Sarah Ann and Jeremy were correct, because we love a love story that perseveres, right? They did it in a tacky way. And I want to make sure that that's very clear. It was very, very tacky on their part on how they did that. Yep. Now, what's going on with this domestic violence charge?
So, give me one second, because I do want to say I agree that this is very tacky. The same thing happened with Jackie and Josh in the season 4 with the way they got together. It was very tacky, which is why they were also hated. So, because people are acting like Sarah Ann is getting hate and like this is new. No. The way Jackie and Josh got hate too for the way they did it. The only couple who did this the right way was Zach with Bliss. Like he ended things with Arena. It was done. And then he went after Bliss. There was none of this like wishy-washy, I'm kind of on the edge. And they even said, So Laura says that before he left for the bar that night, he kisses her. He said that he's at an 85%. Like they have this whole conversation about how good they are. So how do you go from we're getting married and we're good to now telling this other woman we're not going to make it? And that is, again, what was so tacky about all this. I also hated that we didn't get to see during the original series the conversation that she had with Sarah Ann. I didn't love it because I felt like she didn't give Sarah Ann enough heat. Like Laura was talking big shit and had a lot of heat for Sarah Ann behind her back, but she didn't have nearly as much heat to her face as AD did. So
it was, also, I think Laura was hurt and kind of was like over it. And also I think Laura named it on the show. Truthfully, Sarah Ann wasn't sorry. She was fishing to see if she had a chance with Jeremy at any point. And at that point, Laura was like, take them, have them, y'all have fun, and hurt.
Because and I think Laura was
at her wedding.
Laura had all of her venom directed towards Jeremy. So,
which is where it deserved to go. So
where it should have been. And I'll say Laura is mean. She actually is very mean. Like she doesn't deserve and any what happened to her, or whatever. She's fucking mean. Yeah. Like even her family, when they met him and things were still good at that point. I got the vibe that they were all like
scared of her.
Wow, you found somebody. Like somebody to put up with your shit. Like,
blink twice, Jeremy.
Right. Yeah.
No, she is mean and she doesn't have that line of like, this is you went too far. And so like, yeah, but it's hard for me to call her mean because like he deserved everything that she said, you know, all after the whole Sarah Ann situation. But the situations before that definitely was like, ooh, ma'am, you don't have to come for him not having a degree. Like that's
you just say mean. Yeah,
he likes Hawaiian shirts. Let him rock.
Like, yeah. Right. What is the issue with Hawaiian shirts? I still don't get it. It doesn't bother me. But anyway, so okay, the tea, and this, I meant to send this to you the other day, Brie. I apologize because I wanted to watch it first. It was bad. So I wouldn't even suggest watching it. And I'm not saying that this woman is lying. I'm saying that people remember situations differently. But she basically does her whole Risa Tisa thing and gives a 4-part story. We actually don't have the conclusion of it. So very unclear how she's going to end it. But she basically says that they dated, they moved to Charlotte together. And he one night met her at the door with a gun to her face. And that she runs away and calls the cops and they come. but that no charges are filed, no reports are made. There's literally nothing about this. So that's where the story gets a little bit like, what? And we don't, she concludes it with like, the cops came and that then, so I don't know her side of it. Jeremy then responds to her story. And he's like, this is not the first time I've heard this story. I didn't watch her videos because I already know what she said because she's done this before. But he like goes through it and is like, basically there's no charges. The police left because there's nothing. He said he does own guns. He owns 5 guns, 3 of which don't even work. They're not operational. Some of them are like just super old relics. And then the 2 that do work, he turned over to the cops so they could like, I don't know. But then he said he never got them back because apparently if you turn guns over without there being a report or charges or anything, they just get lost. So yeah, there's like,
no, that sounds like he did it. I'm not going to lie. When people start talking about why it's impossible for them to have done it, rather than just saying like, I did not do this.
He didn't say it was impossible. He just said that like, there's no charges. There's not like none of this like is on record. If he had done, he's trying to say like, if I had done this, why was I not arrested? Why was I not charged? What happened?
Now did they take guns?
When people start doing that, they're guilty.
To me, I say a lot of victims don't press charges. A lot of victims, like when the cops get there, change their mind. So like it wasn't, to me, it wasn't a definitive like this definitely didn't happen.
So cops just come and take guns if people.
He said they didn't ask charges. Them. He said he gave them to them. But the point is that there's no record because, you know, Connecticut.
I'm with you. That sounds.
Connecticut is very thorough. If there had been a charge or a report, they would have found it. They found my shit from 2009 that I didn't even know about, and so they were like, "Oh, you got to pay this off before we can talk to you." And it was a fucking like red light ticket or something dumb. So if there had been a domestic violence charge, they would have found it.
No, yeah. I'm not against that. I'm with you on that. I'm just saying.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
There's a lot of story here, and I'm not understanding why you have such a good alibi with so many layers, because you turned the guns over just for...
It was like, I wanted to cooperate. I wanted to be as helpful as
possible. When like, people cooperate, something's up.
Yeah, why did you cooperate?
No, yeah, I'm serious. Like, if I have 5 guns and I didn't pull a gun on somebody, you're not taking my guns. Get the fuck out of my house, right? Like, that's how I feel about this. But
you're being too helpful. It sounds serial killer-ish to me.
Right. And also, if I didn't do anything, then I'm when you ask me about it, I'm like, no, I did not do that. She made it up. I did not pull a gun on her. Yeah. But I'm not saying, well, if I did this, then why? Is there not a record? And how would I have been? Don't ask me questions.
Would a killer do this? Like, it's like, no. It's like, yes. Because you're a killer. You're the killer. But honestly, you know, I told you, them nondescript hats and sunglasses were giving me the ick anyway. So,
yeah, what I said is that there's probably some truth in between both of their stories. He gets loud and scary whenever he is upset. She drinks a lot and had several DUIs and came home drunk that night. And there was probably some in between of like, maybe he threatened her gun, or maybe he had the gun out because he was cleaning it and she came home and he's talking to her. Listen, I've had,
maybe she grabbed it first and then he took it from her, but that's when the memory comes back.
Listen, I'm not saying that she imagined the whole thing. I think there is some truth behind both of their stories.
Nobody's math is mathing though, so we just got to cancel this out. Yeah, the equation,
and that's the gist of it, is that her story doesn't make any sense and his story doesn't make any sense. Somewhere in between is the truth. Does that, and she even starts it off by saying like, I'm not saying that he is still this way or he did it, because this is the one incident that happened that we know that she's talking about. So it's like, are you saying he's a domestic violence person? Did he hit you? Like, we don't know. It was, the story doesn't make any sense.
Something's up.
Something is off. And the fact that she hasn't finished it yet, she was struggling with TikTok. She's like, I'm not a TikTok creator. I don't know what I'm doing. So those stories kept getting cut off. It was a lot. But
you know, go to Facebook or IG or something, and then we'll take it to the next level. Yeah. Stick with what you know.
TikTok people. is hard, and like even when I was trying to do my one video, it kept resetting, and I just got frustrated. So I get it; it's not easy. But yeah, she went on for 4 videos so far. There's gonna have to be a 5th one at least, and I still don't fully understand what happened. So take that with a grain of salt. Y'all can go find her videos if you want to see them yourself. I will add her information into the thing. Oh God. But yeah, so anything else on Jeremy and Sarah Ann and Laura?
God. We wish them all the best and good health. Oh, I always love this on shows though, and I'm sure it's true because once you're on the show, I'm sure everybody's sliding in your DMs. But whenever they ask someone who kind of got, you know, quote unquote rejected, if they're seeing someone now, the answer is always yes. And I love that for them.
It should always be yes. Never say no, even if it's a lie. Right.
Also, why did they ask AD that?
Yeah, they. So the whole thing with AD was weird from the beginning, though, because I don't know. None of it made any sense. So
I also didn't. Oh, coming back to them. Sorry. I just want to scan this side of the room, which is where AD was with all that messy couch. So, with AD and Clay, that question was too open-ended for me on are they together or not, because it was like, would you date again?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I feel like that's one of those, if I say no, like, no, I wouldn't date him again because I'm dating him now, right? Like, it's...
Well, yeah, and so afterwards, that was one of the other questions that got expanded on afterwards, and AD did say she is not going from a fiance to a girlfriend. They're not dating. Like, she wouldn't downgrade that way. So to our point from earlier is, like, he got to come with a ring or else it's not happening. So, yeah. But they didn't ask any of the other people if they were dating anyone. Like, no one. Not Brittany and Ken, not Chelsea and Jimmy. No one else got asked these questions. Well, oh, Jessica did. And that's when she was like, well, you know, you'll have to see or whatever bullshit. So, right. Yeah.
But that's usually a popular question. And I'm like...
Really weird. Really weird that it didn't get asked.
Because everybody... But also, do you think that's in reflection from last season? Do you remember how people were kind of like not answering questions and the reunion show we thought was so bad because they kept pressing and pressing and pressing? Mm-hmm. People weren't giving them the information that they wanted. Do you think that's why they kind of were not as...
On, yeah. Maybe it was asked and the answer was evasive, so they cut it out. Because they filmed for at least 4 hours. So...
Ugh.
Yeah.
How do you film for 4 hours and you come and this is what you get?
An hour and a half is what you come away with. Like, we could have at least got 2 hours.
An hour and a half doesn't answer questions. Like, one thing, if it's an hour and a half of like answers.
Good stuff.
30 minutes is Trevor blinking. Like, where's the rest of the
footage? Yeah. So then what else? None of the cast believes that Sarah Ann and Jeremy didn't do anything. They're like,
believe them.
Chelsea said, I'm not sitting up talking to someone till 5 a.m. Like, that's crazy. That's not all we're doing. I don't know if I believe them. I feel like we're not going to find out till they officially break up, though. So
No, I believe them. I believe them. But I still think it was, either way, you know, it's wrong. Like, bro, you can't, like, first of all, you didn't need to give her a ride home. You didn't need, like, I don't know, like, you just didn't, you didn't move right. You didn't move right. And
tacky.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I don't think it's not plausible to have that. I think people are wild with saying that people can't have a conversation till 5 in the morning, especially if this is the first time seeing your quote unquote ex and after a weird ass dating experience and almost being face to face for the first time. Right. I do not think it's out of pocket to talk till 5 a.m., and I also don't think it's out of pocket for him to take her home at that hour when, like, if instead of calling an Uber or a Lyft. I think what's weird is not, you know, the after steps. I think it's weird not communicating that that's what's happening when you're with your fiance, or, you know, I think there's a lot of layers here. So
for me, it was the sleeping on the couch part that made me feel like you did something with her, because that to me is like, oh, you kissed her, cut whatever you did, you didn't want to get back into our bed having just done this with this woman. That's how that felt to me. Because why else, if you're innocent, you didn't do anything, you just getting home late, why would you come sleep on the couch? That doesn't make any sense to me. It feels very much
like she doesn't know exactly what time he came home.
But that's
no, seriously, that's why. So it's if he doesn't know that she's up, right?
Yeah.
Then he goes to sleep on the couch. Hopefully she doesn't wake up.
That's a level of
man. And she asks the next morning what time you got home, and then he lies. That's probably what it was.
So he was in already
premeditated lies.
Meditated. Oh, yeah.
That's, listen, I didn't think about he that tries part. To make it seem hilarious. Like he was being transparent. You weren't being transparent. Okay, you shared your location because you thought she was asleep, and she picked up on that. You
Yeah.
shared your
Well, actually,
location.
no. So they said that he shared the location before he even left for the bar. So he shared it before
That's
he
what he
left.
does. He shares his
Okay.
location.
Okay. Well, then that's the thing. He shared the location, whatever. But he still thought she was asleep, right? And he keeps saying like, "Oh, I shared my location." Like that doesn't absolve you if it was pure, right? If you were like, "Hey, you know what? She needs this conversation. I think this is the right thing to do." And you would shoot her a text and say, "Hey, just so you know, I'm talking to Sarah Ann. Nothing's happening. Like, we're in a car, but we are talking. Right? You know what I mean?" Anybody would have maybe feel a little uneasy, but would have been fine with that. Even then, after, hey, getting a ride home, just a ride home. Then I'm,
5 a.m. No Ubers are coming. I'm just gonna take
if
her
you're
home.
trying to be transparent, then that's what you do. Even if it sounds a little off. Because obviously, not saying anything sounds much worse than the text that you could have sent.
I even give grace when it comes to mistakes, right? But at no point did he stop this car crash. He never put his foot on the brake. It just kept going and going and going because, okay, you didn't text me before you got in the car and had that conversation with Sarah Ann. Fine. Conversation went on to the wee hours of the morning. Okay. You're a gentleman. You took her home. Fine. Nothing really happened. Or maybe it did, but let's say nothing really happened. Your story's true. There are after steps that you can still take. But okay, you went to the couch as opposed to coming in and making me feel reassured. We're talking face to face now. I'm confronting you with the truth. You're not really admitting it still. Like there was never a moment where he was like, even when he came to that lake house, Laura is in her mind of, I'm losing a fiance. I'm feeling grief about this. And he's like, can I just enjoy the day with the people I like here? And then rides off on jet skis with Sarah Ann. So I think it's more so his inaction than his actual action of sitting in the car with Sarah Ann and talking. Or maybe they did do something, and there's a little subtle gesture that when they're sitting in the round circle at the lake house that Laura does to say what might have happened.
Little car BJ.
Yeah. Which, hey.
Things, yeah. And then, because all Vanessa asked was, did y'all kiss? You don't have to kiss to get a blowjob. I'm just saying. Or handy. I'm just saying.
There's so many other things. Yeah, I would have been asking about all the bases. Did you go to first,
Right.
second, third,
Was there any
homework?
touching? Was there any touching below the belt? The no parts? Like, let's get
Right.
into it.
Where the bathing suit goes.
Yeah. Vanessa, once again, did not ask all the right questions.
Listen, we need new hosts.
I
Get
did think
Andy up in
they did
there.
a lot better. They did do a lot better this at
Oh,
this.
yeah. Let's just acknowledge that, though. The growth. Wow. Exponential.
Leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. This was
Wow.
Megan,
Literally, like it was.
Vanessa. Exponential growth. We applaud you.
And their chemistry together, even just the two of them got better, like seemingly everything got better.
I didn't know if we were gonna be able to do this, but since we're talking about them now, I wanna mention it. I thought the beginning of the show gave me a little bit of hope, them talking in the pods and then them being like, get ready, friends. We're gonna have a whole bunch of friends that came from other seasons here too. I was like, wow, this might be a really cute situation happening. But yeah.
And they got me excited though with the whole two of our cast members have a big announcement. I didn't think
We
it
knew it.
perfect match too.
Yeah.
That was a lot. But anyway, kudos to Nick and Vanessa. Y'all did good. And I'm gonna blame it on editing the rest of the stuff that was missing because it doesn't make any sense. And there were a few times. So like I believe it was during the Chelsea and Jimmy scene where Clay is talking and trying to like kind of give grace to Chelsea. All of a sudden he gets cut off by Micah. And I was like, that there's no way that happened in real life like that. Like, it was
It was really, it was really.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was bad. It was bad. I was like, there's no way that happened in real life. Because, like, someone would have said, I can't imagine Clay not being like, excuse me. Like, he was literally talking. And, maybe the thought was done. Like, maybe in real life, he just kind of, like, trailed off. So they edited it in a weird way. But it sounded like she interrupted him. It was really bizarre.
No, it definitely
I didn't like that edit at all.
Me neither. Okay, now can we move on to... Let's do Kenneth and Brittany because they got no time. I was happy to know that they are, in fact, still friends. They talk every day. And to just kind of hear, like, their side of things. Do you feel like they got their storyline? I don't know. I don't even know the right word. Like, how did you guys feel about what they got to say?
I think what was depicted was accurate. Like, I feel like they got a fair edit, quote unquote, whatever. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I got answers with that. I feel like I think Ken's explanation of, like, his unemotional state at the end, we'll take it, I guess, you know? And them being friends, like, I do think that Kenneth, at a certain point, realized that he was not ready, not willing, not wanting to, whatever, be with a white woman.
Mm-hmm. They never asked.
Yeah, they never asked that.
Yeah.
But I think I thought they were
at least going to ask, like, about the AD of it all, because so many people online were blaming AD.
True.
Like, at least say, hey, did AD change your mind? Give the boy a chance to say, no, AD was not the reason why. Right. But yeah, they didn't ask anything.
Yeah, they never asked about that at all.
So I just have to believe that was cut out, because it doesn't make any sense. They got no time to... but I am happy that they are good friends. So,
well, they also said that they got to them and they were like, dang, after all that, we
finally our time.
Yeah. And I mean, y'all barely made it out of the pods. Relax. Like, you know,
calm down.
Yeah. We're giving you as much time as you've been here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's nice that they've made friends. I guess it's good to consider what is the holdup? It would be sort of my question, right? Your ex-fiance and you FaceTime all the time. I guess they just never ended up wanting that physical bond still, which I would be like, say more.
Which would make sense with the type of show it is, right? You form this emotional connection and then you see each other. You might not like what you see,
but you still have that emotional bond. So now you're just besties.
Right. And then also, though, you know, sometimes people, you know, again, sometimes if you move too emotionally, I think sometimes for people, like, yeah, it ends up being like, you're just my friend. Like, I it's just deeply emotional. It's not mm-hmm. physical at all. Yeah, so... happy for them. Glad they FaceTime all the time. Get off the phone, though, you know?
I thought that was interesting. Brittany said they joked about him coming down the aisle on his phone. And I'm like, was that joke before y'all broke up? Like, when was that joke made? I would have loved to have seen those type of, like, interactions with them. So, was there any other couple that we missed? Or any other drama tea? Let me check my notes. I think we covered everything.
To talk about the awkwardness of the randomness of the other cast members from the Love is Blind universe.
Yeah, they made some choices. I feel like besides Brett and Tiffany, the rest of them, I could have done without them.
None of it was giving to me. What's his name?
Brennan and Alexa.
Oh, I don't like them.
Hi.
I don't like them that one bit. Why? Because who was it that they ganged up on last season? I feel like Brennan's a punk. Honestly, I feel like he's just like he just go along with whatever she does, whatever Alexa says, I'm just going to go along with that. And Alexa,
I like him.
Was, and Alexa took. Alexa, it was Zenib. It was, Alexa like supported Zenib, even though. I think there was stuff there
with Cole.
With Cole, right? And I don't know. I don't like Brennan. I don't like him. I liked Cole, and I didn't like, not like Zenib. That's a choice. That was and I didn't like him. Like, oh, he's great. Like, he's not like me. But I didn't think he was the villain they made him out to be.
I want to free us from the dynamic of if we dislike one, that means we have to like the other. And I think it's fair to say we can dislike both Zenib and Cole at the same time.
Fair enough.
Maybe not to the same degree, but just because, yes, she had a lot going on, but also he wasn't great necessarily either. And that's okay as well. That's how I feel about Jackie and Marshall as well. Jackie, terrible.
Don't talk about Marshall.
Not so great either.
Don't talk about Marshall. He's frat too. Don't talk about Marshall.
Yeah, oh,
and boo. We see what's Marshall. Going on. No.
Marshall called Jackie a project. Okay. I'm sorry, but he is not a great guy.
He's not a great person either.
I don't dislike him. I just am like, ooh, he's the kind of like, I'm a good guy that has to keep.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Yeah. Nothing bad to say
is
about
Trevor Mark. A good guy? He's frat too.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We draw lines, right? Like, the frat
makes
but
great guys. Yeah.
I didn't say that. We draw lines. I mean, you know.
No,
but Marshall's a good guy.
My thing with Brennan is, I think a lot of people forget that he had experiences with Cole outside of what the girl saw and what Zay had said. He was coming from a place of like, no, I spoke with him and I had issues with things he was saying personally. Now, yes, he also took his wife's side. Yes, his wife took Zay's side and they didn't have all the facts and they were just going off of her own emotions and how she felt about situations. But at the end of the day, aren't you supposed to support your wife? Aren't you supposed to like have your partner's back? And I didn't have a problem with that.
Not when she's Alexa.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're terrible. Alexa's the best. Like Alexa's the first body positive.
Why do you like her?
Had. What?
Why do you like her?
Because of her body positivity. Like, we have never seen.
I mean, that's great, but she's not a good person. Like, her personality is not good.
A bad person, what makes her though? A bad person? Did she kill somebody?
She really sucks.
No, it does. It literally doesn't.
like you're giving us zero things.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
So you're sitting here.
My memory isn't that good. I remember that I didn't like her. I remember that much.
Like, she was assertive and she was herself. And like, she was very sex positive.
Like nice things. He was a good old country boy.
She came from money and was confident about it. She always, I liked her because she was very peaceful. Like, she never got like overly excited, or they didn't fight about stuff. Whenever she felt a way about something, they just were able to calmly talk about it.
I might need to rewatch this and renew my hate because I don't remember what it was.
I want you to rewatch it. And I want you to text me as you do, and like you can pinpoint
and point by point. Yeah, put me in the group chat too because
I just watched it and I'm like, no, she's fucking phenomenal. Like she's great. They were just a great.
Wow, couple. And you put this on wax too, so you're gonna eat your words one day.
I mean, listen,
I'm not editing this out,
before.
Mark.
It's happened before.
I'm keeping this whole shit in. But yeah, I didn't, I even though I like them, I still didn't feel like they needed to be there. I feel like the only reason why they were there is because she's pregnant, and you know they're so big on like Love is Blind babies, so they wanted to bring all the pregnant people there,
which is, but like, let's get into yeah, like what though? Like also yes and what?
So my our Bachelor fans listening know about Janina and Blake, but like they're not a Love is Blind couple. So yes, technically they met because she was on the show, and then they met on a third party show. But like, it just didn't make sense other than she's pregnant and they want to have Love is Blind babies. Because Bliss and Zach would have been there too if she wasn't about to pop.
Oh, she's like, yeah, she's due now.
Yeah, like, may have had the baby while we were talking. I'm not
right,
sure.
Right now that in conversation, and then also you know, great. I guess season four, but then also that's not the most recent season of couples, so it's kind of like
Well, they only have Milton. They only have Milton and Lydia. And did you really want to see them?
I don't hate them.
I don't hate them either. I just don't want. I don't care. Like they're the most like unimportant couple to me of the whole franchise. And I love like I think that's good for them because they care more about their actual careers than being influencers and online. So I'm not saying that as like a shady thing. But like literally, they're scientists. Like they are out being nerdy, and I love that. I don't care about anything else. But like, why were Colleen and Matt there? They were the most dramatic couple. I felt like just every time you see Colleen's face, it looks like she's being held hostage, and I just always worry about her.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why Izzy was.
Yeah, that was. Five. I remember that reunion.
So it was Micah, really weird. Right? So that's why I guess they were.
Micah were there. Yeah. And then I understood why Chelsea and Kwame were there because Chelsea works for the show now. So she was there. Right. Talk about her little internship or whatever.
Internship. Sheesh. Oh, also, did she cast this show? Because she snapped.
Here's the thing. They announced her getting this job back right after their season ended. That was in 2022. So I feel like she was part of the casting for this because this show was casted and filmed in 2023.
She snapped. Maybe she was
in orientation still. I don't know. But yeah, this was a great cast. I think you could have done a little bit better background checks. But
no,
you
they know, did the background checks. They wanted this.
What are you going to do if people lie, though? If people lie to you, you can't really do much about that. So
also, like, yeah, you're like, he said he broke up. It looks like the pictures are still on Facebook, but you know, let's add a little saison, right? Like,
just tell him to delete pictures.
Yeah, you know.
Untag yourself, because that's the other thing they do is they do, especially if your pages are private, they make you add the people. They add like their interns so they can go and look at all your shit, your tag photos and everything. So yeah, you got to delete stuff if you are really trying to hide it. But with Trevor, his situation, Natalia, the girl, she said they didn't post anything because they were just starting to date. So they weren't like posting stuff yet. So anyway.
Again, there's probably his truth, her truth, and somewhere in between again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course we do get to see a little montage of the only couple that made it, Johnny and Amy. Beautiful couple. They look like they're having so much fun together. They said they still haven't had a really big fight yet. They just like talk about stuff. She said she didn't get on birth control. He didn't get a vasectomy. So guess they figured out condoms.
No condoms.
Pull out.
They're pulling out. They're definitely using the withdrawal method.
That sounds safe.
It works if you track things, so.
Yeah, you know.
Love that for them.
A little timing and withdraw, you'd be good, at least for a while.
Wear condoms, fans of the show.
Yeah. Anybody, if you're young or, you know, whatever. I mean, they're married. I mean, I feel like if they have a kid, like, I don't know. I think sometimes people get to the point where they're like, if we have a kid, it's not the worst thing in the world. And in those cases, then yeah, use the timing method.
They have a house, they're married, they're established.
They'll be okay.
And I would love to see their little blonde hair babies that she's been dreaming about. Those Jason Penney photos were everything, though. Him and those little pigtails.
I can't wait to do one of those photo shoots, and I might just have to get my friends and we just do it let's get it done. For the next season of Love is Blind, those can be our promo shots, Brie.
I am in. I'm in.
All right. So that's really like everything that happened. Is there anything else that stood out to y'all that we didn't talk about? Oh, I know. When Nick used the moment with Trevor as like a PSA to be like, don't come on this show if you're just trying to get famous.
Did he say that? Yeah. Listen, that's their job. That's your job. That's the, you know, casting people. Your job is to weed those people out. Like, because people are going to do it.
Yes.
Like,
I was listening to Claire and Emma's podcast earlier this morning. And one thing I will say is that this is the stupidest show for you to come on just to get famous. Because unless you end up in a couple and engaged, you don't get any airtime.
It's like you disappear. It's like you're, you just gave your time to this and you vanish.
Exactly. So it is a gamble to do that, to be like, well, I'm just gonna go on and then just like fuck with somebody's heart and hope that I get airtime. So that is kind of crazy. There are so many other shows you can go on if all you want is to get famous. So many other shows. So this is probably not
also look like a butthead.
because right. nobody wants you after that anyway. Like, if you are terrible on this show to people, people are like, you're not a good human. Boo. Yeah.
You're going to have to date someone who's like Amish and doesn't watch TV. Doesn't know who
you and are. Then your consolation prize, at least like with The Bachelor and stuff like that, your consolation prize could be that you get to be the lead of the following season. Here, or you
can go into Bachelor in Paradise and meet other people. Yeah, there's so many other like shows that if you go on Bachelor, you know that the odds of you winning the one lead is probably not going to happen. So you can go on that kind of show for fame because anything could happen. But this show, like the only way you get famous is if you either in a love triangle, do something fucked up, or get engaged.
Yeah, the perfect match. Batch. I want better for Jessica.
Yeah, I just looked at the article for the supposed cast, and it's not promising. So, but I heard she went on Nick Viall's podcast and said that she is dating somebody from season 6 of Love is Blind, and she can't say who it is until after Perfect Match airs, I guess. But she is in a relationship. So, all right. Well, I don't have anything else to add to this. Are y'all looking forward to next season, which I believe is I think it's Michigan, I think is what they said, or Denver. It might be Denver. I think Denver was the one that already filmed.
I'm gonna say no, but then when I see the commercials and stuff like that, I'm gonna be into it. So whatever.
That's true. Well, I look forward to breaking that down with you guys next year.
I'm in. You know, I'm in. I'm a Love is Blind fan, so I'm here to stay.
I'm in it to win it, y'all. I'm not leaving.
Dude, I'm gonna pick the perfect match. Let me go watch that first season.
Go watch season 1 and tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, maybe we'll tell y'all our thoughts at some point. So perhaps, who knows? Perhaps.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me again, guys. Love you. Bye.
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 Thank you for joining me, and a special shout out to my guests. All of their social media and page info can be found in the show notes. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast and my Instagram page at kickingit_Rae. That's RAE. Theme song was created by Chad Milner, and producing and editing was all done by me. See you next week.